Music has really went to another level, the worship. But when the ministers make the music sing, see, because your life make the song come alive. You can sing now all you want, but when they look at you and your life is a testimony of what you singing. Yeah. Your life is just as much a ministry as your ministry. Yeah, don't sing if you ain't living. Because you don't sound that good. Come on now. Nah. Your life make the preaching talk good. Or it can take away from what you're talking about. Is that all right? Are you ready for the word? You know, I'm so thankful and grateful. You know, first of all, again, let me say thank you for all the cards and the gifts for my birthday. 50 years old. I told this gentleman up here, I say, I couldn't have did it without you. That's my dad. So, you know, I couldn't have did it without him. But 50 years old, y'all. No. You need to shout for me one time. Hallelujah. Because I know, look here. There's a God up there. Yeah, you can't tell me God ain't up there. My God. God has been good to us, y'all. This has become more than just going to church. It's alive. It's a relationship. I got an expectation. Amen. It's something when you come and you're looking for something. I mean, you know, I hate to come and I just already know ain't nothing going to happen. I just know I'm supposed to be here, but I ain't really expecting nothing. I ain't bring no pencil, no paper. You know, if I had one good reason, I wouldn't even be here. But it's something when you tell your reasons, I still got to go. Yeah, because you're going to have some reasons that's going to try to tell you, don't come. Huh. But I love him more than I love the reason you gave me. And it's not sufficient enough for me to stop the grace that's up on my life. I'm going anyway. In spite of how I feel. In spite of what they told me. You know the title of this message tonight, don't turn God off. Oh, come on. I'm going to preach it to you tonight. I think I went in there and got every scripture the Bible had. I wanted to just throw lumber because I want this fire to burn. See, because listen, sometimes let me give you the prelude of this. Let me just open up in prayer. Then let's stand to our feet, amen. Let me do the preliminary because we don't never want to dishonor the presence of God. Open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter. Well, let's go to Isaiah 55. Yeah. I'm going to preach this tonight. Can I preach it tonight? Because see, when you got something, have anybody ever had something? But then have anybody ever not had something and then got something? You know, you didn't have it, but now I got it. I got something. Yeah. And it means something to me what I got. Because I know I got something. Yeah, you can't talk me out of what I know I got. See, some folk don't even know they got something. Because I can tell you don't know how you treat what you got. But if you know you got it, you start treating it right. You don't even want folks to handle what I got. I don't even want you around what I got. Because you might mess up what I got. Come on, somebody. Because I know I got something. Isaiah chapter 55, when you get to verse 6, say amen and give your neighbor a high five. Amen. Find somebody and give them a high five. Let them know I'm in agreement. Let's start with verse 6. And it says, and let's read together. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven returneth the water the earth and maketh it bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in. Father, in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, God, may you bless the hearers, but assuredly, God, may you bless the doers in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. You may have your seats. Now, since you're in your seat, listen. Because we're in a place that I don't even know where I'm at, can I preach this right tonight? All I need is one amen, because I'm going to preach it right. See, where you going, you don't even know where you at. See, you're in your future sitting right here now. You better hear me if I'm talking to somebody. If I just get one somebody in here, I'll preach this thing like I lost my mind. Listen, some of us is in our future. Sitting right here in this church, but my future is being developed and molded right while I'm sitting here. But because I don't know what it is, I can't afford to turn God off. See, because if I knew what it was, then I had the choice to make a decision about what I understand. But since I don't understand what I know I got a future now. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I got a future. My future is here. I can tell my change is here. Even though I don't know what my change is, but I know it's here because my Noah knows. See, watch this. Help me here. My Noah knows. Because the scripture says, I told you the other day, if he'd have knew. See, Pharaoh knew what he had. If you knew what God was doing, you wouldn't turn him off. If you were in your right mind. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, don't lose your mind. See, some of us is losing our mind. The circumstances and situations that's coming is trying to get you to lose your mind. Now, there's levels of insanity. Boy, I could work right here. Because come here. Come on. Go with me. Everybody crazy ain't locked up. Yeah. We got some crazy folks sitting right next to you. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Now, we can go down to the state building and find some insane folks. But I'm trying to tell you, it's some crazy folk walking around here, too. Because you got to be crazy for God to tell you what the will is, show you what you got coming, and you turn him. That's a crazy man. But let's not get biased. And that's a crazy woman. Because they say the definition of insanity is somebody doing the same thing the same way over and over and looking for different results. So that's insane. But I just want to deal with some crazy folk today. Because I ain't certified to mess with the insane ones. They got them down at the office. Come on now. I'm going to stay in my lane. But I can deal with some crazy folk. Because some of us sometimes act crazy. How could you not? God's goodness, he blessed you, he healed you, he saved you, he take you right out of what was killing you, what was beating you down and robbing you, and you go back and get it. You tell me that ain't. But wait, now don't look at your neighbors, because I don't want you to get empty in my church. Unless you find a mirror. And if you look in that mirror, then you be all right. Because see, folk don't mess with other folk when they realize they crazy. It's only when you think you ain't crazy, you want to be all up in other folk's face. But when the prescription got your name on it, the medicine is in your name. That's certified that the doctor said, you the one that's crazy up in here. But let's look at the text. Look at the text. Are you having some fun? I want you to have some fun, because when we get ready to pull this cloth off, I don't want you to get intimidated. Watch this. He said, seek ye the Lord while what? He may be found. I can work with this whole thing and just really dissect this here passage, but I don't want to get off my message. But you should look at what the scripture said. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. So that's indicative of he was not always here. Have you ever been where the Lord has not been here? Even though he is the Lord, but he ain't been. And you didn't know where he was. So now you don't come to a place where you have found. Not this church, but a season in your life where you have found the Lord. So I don't want to be a fool to lose what I found, because I know what I got is good. I found the Lord. But he says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is. Come on, somebody. Have you ever been felt like that the Lord has really left the room? Left the building? Left the place? Left the city? You got to even go all the way up and make sure he's still in heaven. That's how far I'm away from him. Because you can get that far away from the Lord even though you in the house. Because see, being in church is not indicative of being in his presence. You're just present. But it's not sure yet if he's here. So he says right here, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the what? Forsake his. And the unrighteous man his. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will what? And to our God. Now, can I work right here? Because you know I like words, and every time you talk to me and you say something, and you switch the tone of your conversation, or you use words that took away from what we was just talking about, I need you to explain what you meant. Because he said, the Lord, then he said, God. Let's look at that. Is this in your Bible? Woo! I get excited. He says right here. He says, and return unto him unto the Lord. Now watch this. Return unto him unto the Lord. So now he's not talking about the Lord indicative of the three Godhead. He's talking about what area in your life that he was Lord, because he told him, return from your weak. So what area was he Lord in that you walked away from? Come on, stay with me now. Because see, I'm trying to get you to repent, to turn back, so me and you can have corresponding action. But in order, we have to understand what separated me and you. It wasn't that I don't love you, it was your sin. So when you took on the activity that you're doing that was contrary to my standards, me and you separated in that area. So in order for me and you to have this dialogue that he said, return unto me, come while I'm near, I need you to let go what's keeping you from me. See, because we're trying to hear with a dull ear. Oh, I'm going to work with you this evening. See, he said, let's go. You're looking at me strange. Go to Matthew chapter 13. You're looking at me like we just fell off the Big Bird bus. And I don't have no Cheerios, but I got a pocket full. Watch this. Are you here? Matthew chapter 13, verse 15. Because see, the problem, what's happening with us is, the scripture says we are dull of. Now, he didn't say you couldn't hear, but something done dulled your hearing. And see, what separates us from God is not God don't love me. It's the activities I do that don't please him. And then my attitude of not repenting for what I've done. So I don't even realize, even though I'm coming, I'm away from him. Because I don't think he knows that what I'm doing. But I don't know that what I'm doing is keeping him from talking to me. Because even though he's talking, I can't hear. Because the sin has dulled my hearing. That's why he said faith comes by hearing. And hearing. By the word. I'm going to work with you. So verse 15, he says, for this people's heart is waxed gross. And their ears are what? Dull of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart. Boy, that's just so much right here. And should be converted, and I should heal them. Now, what conversion is you talking about, Lord, if I'm already saved? Converted back to the state you was in with your salvation, but prior to your separation. That's why you're hearing. He said, these people, they got eyes, but they can't see. They got ears, but they can't hear. It ain't that you ain't hearing. It ain't that you ain't seeing. But this dull he's talking about right here, this comes with a connotation, and I wrote it down. It's I try to pronounce this. This dull is called Barrios. It's B-A-R-E-O-S, Barrios. And this is dull, which is heavy, burdensome, and grievous. So what he's saying is, now when I talk to you, my words I'm saying to you now are heavy, burdensome, and grievous. When did they become grievous? This is the same words that saved me. It's when you separated from me. So now it's like when I talk to you, you think I'm threatening you. You think I'm on you, but I'm really trying to convert you back to. That's why, you know, people say, you know, when you go minister to him, I hear you. I know he real, but I ain't ready right now. So what happens when you keep talking to him, you become burdensome. You telling them this ain't the will of God. That's not what God told you. That's not what he made you to do. That's not. And every time you say that, it becomes grievous. Now, the first grievous is not so much that you grieve me because you pointed out the obvious. That part of the grievous is I already know, but I don't want to change. So every time you come and talk to me about what I already know and refuse to change, you grieve me. Is this helping? He said, now this is burdensome. That's why, you know, folk be running away from you. Family members don't want to get with you. Loved ones ain't trying to hear you because it's burdensome. Because you reminded me of what I already know. But I just choose not to change. So it becomes grievous to even sit with you. How's me and you can't even sit at the table no more? I got papers on you. You my husband. But it's grievous. Now, this ain't got to be sinners. This could be a saint who just done got out the wheel. And every time I see you, you remind me of what I'm supposed to be doing. So now it's grievous to even see you. That's why folk be running from the Christians. It's not that they don't know God. It's not that they don't want to get right with God. But I don't want to be grieved because when I sit with you, you remind me of me. And since I done hid myself, because the Bible says in Genesis chapter, you know what I'm saying? Adam and them, they was in the garden and they was chilling because they was walking in the cool of night. It was all good until sin got in the camp. And then when sin got in the camp, here come God doing what he do, whistling. And he hear, where my boy Adam at? And Adam say, I heard him coming. And I hid myself. See, when your family, friends, and members see you coming, they... Oh, come on, y'all. Y'all got to work with me up in here. Now, I know that's you, but it ain't you. Because I hid me that you know. Oh, is this going to help you? But now watch this. He said that this was grievous. This was heavy. But now go to Hebrews chapter 5. See, you don't have to keep running up on folks. That's devil grievous. I already even know you when you come. You already recognize who you are when you show up. You remind me of who I'm supposed to be. But then you keep running up on me. Sometimes it's called the ministry of presence. All you got to do is just show up. But you know, you thinking that they don't understand. You thinking that they don't hear you. You thinking that they don't know. But they do know. They do understand. They do hear you. But they refuse to respond to what they hear. No. And you still trying to beat them and get it to them, but they already know. Don't you know the police, when they pull up on the block, they don't have to say nothing. It's called the ministry of presence. Soon as they hit the block, everybody know. They don't have to get out. And I'm the police, and rule number, I don't know about you, don't need all that, Doc. That suit tell me everything you trying to tell me. It remind me of everything I'm doing wrong. I, matter of fact, start throwing away stuff you don't even know I got. Because I know who you are. Church, if we walk in the ministry of presence, you'll draw more folks with love than you would law. Because you know, here's the Holy Ghost. They won't talk to you because you keep talking to them. Are you in Hebrews chapter 5? Look at Hebrews chapter 5. Now let's look at verse 10. It says, called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are what? Now, this dull of hearing is a different Greek word than that dull of hearing. Amen? Because that dull of hearing was talking about the heaviness, the grievousness. But this dull of hearing is called, nothros, N-O-T-H-R-A-U-S. This is nothros, where we get no thrust. Now, this is those that become so dull, they have no thrust. They don't know how to respond to the voices of God at all. Have you ever been in your life where you can hear? See, now watch this. Folk hear God talking to them. He just not saying the same thing he's talking to everybody. If you ain't saved, he ain't telling you nothing about no revelation, about no nothing. He talking to you about salvation. Everything you hear, it would be pertaining to salvation. But if you saved and you done got away from God, he's talking to you about rededication. He ain't giving you no revelation and you trying to walk around and tell somebody something. And you out of the wheel. That's not what he's talking to you about. You can't tell me he's talking to you about that. Because that would be illegal for him to talk to you about something when he know you're not in order. So this is that nothros. That nothros, these are the ones that have a relationship with God, but they become so dull of hearing by virtue of separation from God, living a lifestyle contrary to the will of God, that now they can't hear. And the measure of hearing that they do hear, there's no thrust behind them to respond to what they hear. Have you ever been, now I know I'm not talking to y'all, but there's some people who go to church that have been so far away from God that even while they're sitting in church, the word of God is being preached under prophetic anointing. All power in heaven is with them, but they can't get enough grace up to respond to the word they hear, even though he's talking to them. See, we can be in such a deficit in our relationship and fellowship with God that even though we hearing, I can't hear. That's why he said, have eyes and cannot see. I'm so far from God, I can't even get a vision. I don't know what God's talking about doing. Got ears and cannot hear. I can hear, but I can't hear. And I don't have enough grace on my hearing to respond to what I heard. See, God is causing and challenging and pushing us to grow up, but you can't come up until you grow up. Too many people have been passing up. And you wonder, how did you get up here with all that? Well, you know, they let me up. They told me I came to church long enough that they put me up. Matter of fact, they told me since I was around, there wasn't nobody else in here, they set me up. How did you even get up here? These seats are reserved for. How did you even get set up here smelling like that? I can tell you just left the spot. Come on, stay with me. I got Bible for you. I'm not just talking. But watch this. He said, of whom we have many things to say and hard to utter, seeing you are what? Dull of hearing. For when the time that you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and become such as of need milk and not strong meat. Now watch this. The Spirit of the Lord told me, you know, because I've really been believing God for the school, and I'm looking for some things because I believe by grace God has given me a next level anointing, so therefore I'm ready to run that. But God said, we're not ready. No. I love you enough. I'm not gonna suffocate my baby by keep pushing food down their throat just because I got a refrigerator full. As a good parent, I need to know how to feed my babies so they can grow healthy. Because I know the baby gonna want and they just grabbing and grabbing, not even knowing the digestive system is hurting. Their stomach is finna be messed up. They can't even gurgitate and process what they just ate. But they still. God said, I love you enough that I'm going to make you healthy. Amen. See, it's church health, not church growth. I'm not worried about no numbers. I'm worried about healthy folk that we can walk out of here and hold this Bible up and begin to talk to somebody about Jesus. You got too many folk that's just talking about, I'm saved. But what that mean, Doc? Open the Bible and show me what that mean. It happened to me. I can give you my testimony. Well, Doc, that happened 5 years ago. What have you learned since that happened? You can't live off your testimony. You can live from your testimony, but you can't live off your testimony. We got to become men and women of the word. If you're going to make an impact in the kingdom, in your life, in your home, you got to know that Bible. Not just gorilla flips and jumping and having fun. That's all good. But somewhere you got to break down and know something. I would hate to go to the hospital and I got a gorilla flipping doctor. Oh, I feel so good making this happen. Oh, then they say, well, what's your issue? I said, man, talk to me about what you're going to do. Oh, don't worry about it. I got you. No, man, you need to explain what you got. I ain't closing my eyes. But if that doctor begin to run that thing down, you got some of them, and we're going to take this and move this, and by the trichonomics or the hormonus, and man, I don't know what you're saying, but go ahead and do it. At least you had an answer. But don't get to cutting on me. You ain't got a. The Bible said, let us have an answer for the hope that's. People would love you if you'd be able to learn how to talk Bible. Not church. Talk Bible. Open up that Bible and give me a scripture. Because it's only when it's written will the power of God be made manifested in whatever endeavor you're doing. Not your longevity in church. Not which auxiliary you work in. You're going to have to open up here and show me a scripture where Jesus said something. All right. You're looking at me kind of strange. But now watch this. In verse 12, it says, for when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need the one teach you again, which is the principles of the oracles. Now watch this. Which is the principles of the oracles of God and are become such as have need of milk. Now, this was a real in-depth to me. This word, watch this. He says, and are become. When I looked up that, and I had to really write this one down, it's Belteshazzar. I didn't get it right, but I practiced it 12 times. It's Belteshazzar. There you go. Belteshazzar. It's Belteshazzar. That word, and are to become, is Belteshazzar. And that word is indicative of correspondence. See, the reason why we're not becoming what we're supposed to, because there's no correspondence with the one that changes us. See, have you ever discovered, let's just be honest, you don't grow because you go to church. I mean, we done been coming long enough. We ain't just started coming. You grow when you become the church. That's why he said, and are become. Boy, you got to work your Bible. See, just going to church don't make you grow. You got to become the church. Meaning you got to be transformed into what the church is saying. Not the physical church, but what the word is saying. You got to be transformed. That's why it's a corresponding action where we come together. Now look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Go back there. Are you getting anything? You say, Pastor, what the heck is you talking about? No, I'm teaching. I wish we shout and jump and give and everything on teaching, but you don't, because it's transforming. But you should be happy to be transformed. You should give every time you don't know what the heck I'm talking about. Because something's happening. You know, not really. How much would you honor, come on, y'all, don't think I'm just talking to you. How much would you honor the teacher if everything they taught you, you knew? You'd be like, what am I here for? See, I'm supposed to blow your mind every 15 minutes. Every 15 minutes, I need to give you something that you didn't come just to hear me and you talk about what you already know. In order for the growth to take place, there must be an increase. I got to say something you don't know in order to validate I'm the teacher. That's right. If you went up there and everything that teacher said you knew, pretty soon you're going to get a little attitude. Next thing you know, you're going to get a voice. But look here, teacher. Now see there, here we go. Because pretty soon you're going to discover I'm not really learning. I'm rehearsing, but I'm not learning, therefore I'm not increasing, therefore I'm not advancing. So that's why I got to tell you stuff you may not know. Now I'll give you that benefit, because I know all of us are sharper than me, so I just get the privilege to remind you of what you already know. But if you run across anything that you don't know, I sure to get an amen. All right, look at chapter 2. Are you in chapter 2, verse 1? It says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed, my God, to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should, what? Let them slip. Now, you know, that word heard is the Greek word akio, where it's akio, is A-K-O-E. Amen. Now, he says, now you must give the most earnest heed to the things you heard. Because when we hear, it's like akio is A-K-O-E, is where we get the English word echo. So now watch this. See, do you know what discipleship is? I know I'm coming around the corner, but there's truth coming around the corner. Discipleship is you learning and then you teaching what you learned. That's disciple. Not one time out, I'm just coming here to learn a whole lot. No, the purpose of your learning is for you to teach what you've been taught. But you know what the teacher's looking for? The echo. Now don't be in my class and you got another whole subject. And you're going to bust up in the front of the car. I got something. Now the way an engine is broke down, Man, what is you talking about? I want you to talk about that Bible. You just wanted an occasion, but you got the wrong class. Because this is theology. So you need to be talking about that Bible. And then you need to be on the subject that I'm talking about. Because it's called representation. And representation is just nothing but represent. Can I help you right here? See, you're not a good student or a good disciple if you don't represent what the teacher taught. So this is where we get the A-K-O-E. A koe is the same word as echo. So now when you're corresponding with God, God wants to hear you echo. Oh, yeah. That's why he said it's written. Oh, yeah. I told y'all this year I'm going to come out on you. Because see, this is what God wants us to do. We're going up. But I got to challenge you. I got to provoke you. I got to push you. Because guess what? In order to keep what you got, you got to learn what you got. Because God, he's blessing us, but you've been to walk in an abundance, but you got to learn the communication of the next level of living. You can't talk like you live downstairs with this new promotion. Because they're not going to respect you upstairs. And some of us going to lose what we got because we don't want to put the work in. We want the benefit, but we don't want the work. God say, I'm finna bless you. I've been talking about promoting you. I'm letting you know you're in another dimension. But I got to teach you from this place. Because I don't want you to stay where you at the rest of your life. Not only economically, not only physically, not only emotionally, not only socially, not only spiritually. See, God said, I got to raise up your whole level. But the level is raised by the proximity. Oh, can I? Watch this. Help me, Holy Ghost, help me. Just by you being around people of the next level have already given you a next level status. Oh, you better hear me now. Just by you tapping into the finances of the next level have already moved you into a next level status. You live there now. Act like you live there. Don't start acting like you back where you came from. Can y'all get with me? I'm trying. My job is to preach you into the best thing ever happened to you. That's walking in the grace of God. But you got to not turn him off. See, you're in your next. Can't you tell you in the next level? Listen to the word. I'm talking to you from a next level. And it ain't going to get softer. It's going to get worse. You know, when you go to school and once you get past the introductory period where they talk about what we used to know, next thing you know, they bust out that other book. And from that point forward, it's on. You got to study. You got to read. You know, when you first went in there, you just chilling. I got that. I know that. Teacher, that's me. You standing up. I got to check it out. Then she said, all right, that's all right. Come back a couple weeks. Couple more weeks, she hit that new stuff. Talk to me about this. And she come all the way over there to you. Because you've been jumping up all this time. And you can't even move now. Your head down. Because you ain't got nothing to say because you just hit another level. God's saying you just hit another level. I know you can't hear what, come on somebody, but don't turn me off. All right. Chapter 2, verse 1. He says, now this is where we echoing. Amen. You're echoing him now. He says, therefore we ought to give the most earnest heed to the things which we have heard, least at any time we should let them slip. See, because you can let what you heard slip if you don't give heed to it. You know, that ain't for me. It's too deep. Now, you just let it slip. But I'm going to show you another side of letting it slip. You heard what he said. You heard what he asked of you. And you refused to respond. You let it slip. He says, and let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and every disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we what? Neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken of by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Do you believe I heard him? Let me just make it real practical. That's why I stay in the book. Because that's which was spoken by the... I ain't telling you something I said. Something, you know, National Geographic talking about. I'm telling you what the Lord said. And now it's being confirmed. So the Bible says we're without excuse. Now I'm going to give you something that's so powerful. You have to hear this, because sometimes people think they got to go back and make up. Hear me. Man, God help me, Holy Ghost. But faith is progressive. If you ever walked with God anywhere and you got off from God wherever you was at, God don't go back to where you were. When he comes back to you, he comes back to where you should have been. Because that's where faith left you. So you're saying, well, we need to teach me this and show me this. No, faith got you where you at. And if you learn to walk from where you at, faith will take you where you should be. Because I'm going to show you in the scriptures. He said, and them that according to an understanding heart. See, as long as you understand, you redeem the time. I ain't got time to go back in the fifth grade and try to get nothing. I really ain't. Whatever I ain't got now out of the fifth grade, whatever they're going to teach me, they'll have to teach me in this level class, but teach me that level learning. But God ain't requiring me to go back. Go through the fifth, sixth, seventh, come up. No. That's why the system in the school, they require you to go back. When you go to get that degree, they take that little preliminary test. They say, no, doc, you got to do 2 years fundamental. You're like, well, oh, God, when am I going to work on my degree? You may never work on it if you don't get past that fundamental. No, that's the system. Because they said within the natural, you're not capable. But I told you with the favor factors. Come on, somebody. You better get with me. See, God's favor is up on your life, even what you don't qualify for, even what you're not capable of. Favor comes in and makes up the... Oh. I'm not negating no assignment, no work that got to get done, but neither am I limited to the power of God that can do the work. Because I can tell you right now, you got more millionaires that ain't never completed school. No, you better hear me. They ain't never completed school according to what you say is required to have. They just followed faith through grace, and God put them in the place that they should be in, and they learned how to cooperate with God. And he made up the difference. So don't limit yourself by what you don't have, what you don't know, what you haven't accomplished. That's why I say don't turn him off just because you ain't done that. Because grace and favor is at your door. Are you with me? Now he says, verse 3, and how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? At the beginning to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed by us unto them that heard him. God also bearing witness, both with signs, wonders and miracles, and with divers miracles, and with gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to what? His own will, his own ability. See, you can tell when the grace of God is up on your life because the signs, miracles, and wonders. And gifts. Now, he didn't say one gift of the Holy Ghost. That's another whole teaching. We won't even touch that. But he said the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit ministry operating in you. See, the what happens when you're in the presence of God, you release the gifts of God. Not just rekebosikaradalabosita. That's the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's not all the gifts that God possesses. See, you can get a divine knowledge. Well, I'm talking to y'all better than y'all shouting to me. You can get divine knowledge by being in the presence of God. God will open up something to you. I'm talking about what you didn't even have a clue to understand. If you get with God and please him, God would open. Go to Luke chapter 24. Let me just get this to you parenthetically, and I'm going to walk away from you. Luke chapter 24. Are you there? When you get there, say amen. Amen. Tell everybody else to hurry up. Luke chapter 24. Look at verse 44. No. Look at verse 41. It says, and while they yet believed not for the joy and the wonder, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat it before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Verse 45, then opened he their what? That they might what?
Understand.
The scriptures. See, they didn't even understand what he was talking about. But he opened up their understanding. The other Bible says he opened up the eyes of their understanding. That was the spirit, so that they can understand the scriptures. See, you don't understand the scriptures just because you read them. You understand language. You understand English. But he ain't revealed the scriptures yet. That's why it's called revelation. See, you got to please him for him to open up the scriptures to you. Just because you read it don't mean you got nothing. The most you can tell me is English interpretation. But you don't have revelation. See, God has to open up the scriptures. That's why when you can be a broke man, you can be broke in your spirit, broke in your life, broke in your marriage. And when you begin to eat them scriptures, God begins to mend and make whole. You can even be broke and nobody even know you broke, because you got broke somewhere. And it was an inside job. It was an internal wound. It won't even show up on the doctor's table when they do the CAT scans. They don't know that your heart broke. They looking for the ligaments and the bones to be separated. And they wondering why you having all these corresponding actions that we can't regulate. I got machines on you and wires running, and I still can't figure out why you crying. Because it's on the inside. And on what man know the spirit of a man except the spirit of that man? The Holy Ghost got to come through the revelation of the word and bring healing to the body. That's why we sit up under the word, because the word heals. Now I'm telling the word, you can get a word from God. I'm talking about something happened to you, and nobody even knew it happened, as well as some things some folk knew happened, and ain't nothing they can do to console you. But to the comforter, the Holy Spirit, oh, you better talk to me here. The comforter comes, and he begins to comfort you through the scriptures, because there's hope in the Bible. But that's hope for your soul. I ain't talking about you hope for your car. You may have to walk, but you can walk with joy. See, it's one thing if I got to walk and I'm hurt.
Yeah.
I don't even mind walking if the joy of the Lord. I can live with you, sit right across the table from you and be full of joy. When 3 weeks ago, it hurt me to sit there and look at you. I mean, it hurt me because you hurt me. And 1,000 apologies can't fix what you've done. But I was with God. And the Spirit of the Lord comfort me. Don't tell me this word ain't real. See, we living it less than what it's capable of doing. If you ever let the word work, it'll take you places you ain't never been. It'll do some stuff you ain't never experienced. It can make some stuff. Come on, somebody. I sit here and go through the fire and be like Kool-Aid on the inside. It's cool in here. Everybody else sweating and I'm under. I got a peace that passed all understanding. Why you think he said that? Because he was talking about what I can do internally that can't happen naturally. They can't fix you like that. They can't touch you like that. Some of us been wounded. You can't heal me. I've been almost 13 years trying to get over what happened to me. It wasn't until I got back in the mirror of that word. And that word transformed me. It changed me. He touched me with that balm. With that salve, and he rubbed it on my hurt, in my broken places. Do you know anything about broken places? You know, we look real good, but some folk just broke up. You better not say two words straight to them. They would just fall apart. I've been waiting for somebody because I'm really broke inside. I'm holding on with everything I got. I want to quit. I want to stop. I even want to run. I even thought about just killing myself. Because you don't understand what I got to live with. That's me. But it wasn't until I heard the word of God that I found rest for my soul. I go to bed, but I couldn't rest. Couldn't sleep at all. I'm tossing and turning all night because my soul couldn't rest. Oh, help me here. The word of God becomes rest for my soul. I got to get a dose before I lay down. I got to have a dose when I wake up because it keeps me. It enables me to deal with you. You better not make me close my Bible because I may not even be here. Oh, God, you better talk to me. If it had not been for the Lord, that ain't just no little Bible song. That's why we love him. That's why you can't turn him off. That's why you got to throw your hands up. Look, Dad, no hands. I'm taking my hands off the wheel. I'm not driving no more. That man of God, he was showing me a text today in Mark. And the scripture said, any man try to save his life shall lose his life. Any man lose his life shall save. Amen. We know that. But when we looked it up in the message, he said, I'm driving the car. Take your hands off the wheel. You won't go nowhere unless you let me lead you. God's saying, that's the problem I'm having. Y'all won't let me drive. You want to go there, but you won't let me drive. You want me to follow you. But according to Romans chapter 8, it said, these are the sons of God, those that are led by the Spirit of God. We're in a place, in a season where we finna let the Spirit of God lead us. Don't turn him off because you don't understand. He got you. You don't have to know where you're going. You know who you following. Long as we stay in that book, use yes, Lord. Your answer is yes, Lord. I don't even know where I'm going, but yes, Lord. I don't even know. Come on, that's how Abraham became the father of faith. He told him to leave all them people, leave your family, and follow me. Abraham dropped that stuff and said, yes, Lord. See, real submission, real Christianity is not you knowing the answer, it's you obeying the answer. You got a lot of folk that know the answer, but they still won't obey it. That's how he said, at least you let these things slip. How do you let them slip? When you choose not to obey them. I'm going to let you go. I got to let you out of here. Go to Acts chapter 24. I'm going to let you out right after this. I didn't say I was going to let you out. I said I got to let you out. No, I'm going to let you out. Do y'all? I just want you to have enough to stand on. Amen. I ain't talking about no wishy-washy nothing. You know, this is your life. You go somewhere else and learn 15 books. And you come up in here and you got me on a 10-minute run. You leave here talking about we're going to the movie. We're going to be in that 3 hours. But you telling me I got to hurry up because I'm getting too long. I'm trying to save your life, your children, your marriage, and your babies. And you want to rush me off. See how crazy we are? Everybody else, you won't tolerate them, but you talking about. I know what you mean when you hold your Bible up. You think I don't know what you talking about, but it don't mean nothing to me. No, I am considerate. I'm trying to help you. Lord, know I'm trying to help you. Because the devil want to take all of us, y'all. And if we stay in a place of ignorance and lackadaisious, he will rob you while you laughing. While you think it's funny, he's stealing your stuff, your babies and everything. And you sitting up there and not knowing your stuff walking right out the back door. I'm telling you, you better fight. You got to fight for your stuff. Be willing to put some time in. You got too many passive folks. I know I'm getting a little attitude right here, huh? I calm down. But let's stay with the text. Watch this. It says, are you in Acts chapter 24? See, because we all want, listen. We all want to do this on a convenient level. You know, Pastor, call me back later on when I got some time because that's convenient for me. You know, I've been up all day. Watch the text. It says, verse 24. It says, and after certain days when Felix came with his wife, Drusilla. You know, y'all thought the folk on the TV just came up with that name, didn't you? Drusilla. Which was a Jewess, and she sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a what? Convenient season, I'll call for thee. Yeah, you know, I'm doing my thing now. I like it like I like it. Go away. And when it's convenient, I call and you come. Now, who the heck you think you are? You going to call God first. And he going to come? You ain't got it like that. And let the story be told. The season ain't convenient. He's just merciful. Because he ain't let what you doing kill you. Beat you down. How you sitting up somewhere looking foolish and you'll call him immediately. Come now, Lord. Yeah, because you're in trouble. But I thought you wanted the convenience. Am I doing any good, Roy? See, we got to get out of that convenience and respond when he asks us because you may not get another chance. You may not have another day. What if this, and I hate to say it now, what if what he's asking you and telling you is your last warning? Because I can really say you probably already used up your convenience. Because you ain't just got here. You've been doing this a little while. And you still thinking it's convenient? That's only because it's comfortable. But then after the bell ring, now you want him to be, oh, Lord, it's me. Come now. No. No. I'm busy because it ain't convenient for me to come to you now. I'm ministering to those that obeyed me. Yeah, I'm paying attention to those that responded when I called them. all my help, Lord, is being used right now. You know, help, Lord, heal, Lord, deliver, Lord.
Yeah,
all my Lord stuff is being used. Yeah. Because it wasn't convenient for you to sign up when I called you, when I had prepared for you your healing, your deliverance. But you wanted to stay in what was comfortable to you. But thank God he's a merciful God. But I listen, I can't leave you in a negative situation. I know y'all got to say, ain't this good news? This preacher here. Now, I'm going to preach it right. I'm going to keep it tight, but I'm going to let you live. Come on. Thank God he's a merciful God. But how long do you want to take the chance? Because I hate the hour would come without the memo that your mercy is up. And the next voice you hear is what you've been dodging, is what you should have got because of your activities. Think about what you could get because of your activities. And mercy has been holding that back. Don't frustrate grace, because it ain't you that's holding it back. It's his expectation of you. And if he ever thought you will not respond, tell me what room to visit, and I'll be there. Every head bow, every eye close. Bless you, and we thank you in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And God, we're so ever thankful and grateful that you would even take the time to teach us. You won't leave us ignorant. You won't allow the enemy to have an advantage. You've already prepared our deliverance. Help us to respond to you, God, that we can show and glow with the glory and the grace that you provided. Thank you for those that you've already brought out that understand the message exactly where it's at and receive it exactly for what it's worth. You've been a real help in time of trouble. But I pray for those that are dull of hearing and we've separated ourselves and we're playing with Russian roulette with your grace. God, I pray that you will not allow the enemy to have an advantage over them. Give them strength, God, to respond, to say yes to your will and yes to your way. Satan, the Lord rebukes you tonight. We declare tonight that these are men and women of God under the canopy and the warrant of God's protection. We're in the house of God where the word of God is being preached and proclaimed. Therefore, the power of God is available to save, to heal, and to deliver. And I trust now that you would do what you said you would do. Keep us, protect us, and preserve us. And we make our commitment afresh and to new back to you, that we give our hearts and our lives to be about the Father's business, and we'll be diligent until you come.